Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3 and stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll be reading from a passage in Peter, and then we'll return to the Proverbs and look at three different passages in Proverbs. Hear now the reading from God's Word. Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding. Give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Let us turn back to Proverbs chapter 11. We're looking at a theme in Proverbs chapter 11, 12. We've been looking at the various themes through Proverbs, focusing in chapters 11 through 12, and we'll eventually, Lord willing, work our way through all the book of Proverbs, picking up different themes as they arise. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 16. A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. Verse 22 of chapter 11. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. In chapter 12, verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. Please be seated. I want to go verse by verse looking at these different passages about ladies. And these three passages in Proverbs 11 and 12 deal with the lady. It has application for men as well, as we'll see. But let's read again Proverbs chapter 11, verse 16. I want to make a few observations about the passage. Proverbs 11, 16. Says, a gracious woman retains honor. Ruthless men retain riches. There's a contrast here. There's two characters being contrasted in this passage. You have the gracious, or as the NIV says, the kind-hearted woman, and she's the one who gains respect or attains respect. Or literally, the word is to grasp. She grasps it. It could have the sense of holding on to respect, retaining it, or it could have the sense of attaining it, grasping respect. This gracious woman is the one who gets honor. She's the one who gets respect. And it's contrasted with a man, the ruthless man. You have the kind-hearted, gracious woman, and you have the ruthless, or some translations, New American Standard says the violent man. King James says the strong man. So you have this contrast, the woman who retains honor by graciousness, and the man who gets riches by ruthlessness or aggressiveness. He's a go-getter. It's not clear, really. The New King James and the NIV portray it as ruthless, which has very negative connotations for us. Think of a person as ruthless, that has negative. But the word could be taken as just an aggressive go-getter. You know, this aggressive go-getter man, he gets riches and holds on to them. And the gracious woman, she holds on to and gains honor. Now, I want to point out something about biblical thinking. In biblical thinking, the woman is not honored for aggressive masculine behavior. The aggressive woman, who is very masculine in that sense, and goes after, you know, to get what she wants, and that is not honored in biblical thinking. What's honored is the graciousness, the kind-hearted woman. Now, in a man, aggressiveness can be good and necessary. You want aggressive men in battle, sometimes in business situations, other things. And that's why this text could be portrayed positively, depending on the translation. He attains respect in a sense by getting riches, by getting wealth. Gives him some sort of respect and honor. But in contrast to him, there's the woman, and she's to be gracious. She's to be kind-hearted, and that's where her honor comes from. That's where how she gets respect. Now, I know this is contrary to everything our culture teaches right now. This is in total contrast to the cultural teaching. Feminine aggression is the way women are supposed to get respect. You want a girl to go out there and she goes for the gusto. We have women in our culture fighting their way into the military academies. And we're supposed to respect that. Our culture wants us to honor these women who have fought their way into VMI or some other place to try to be like the men. And that's how we as a culture tend to think of respect. She's a respectable woman because she fought her way and she got in there. Or whatever, donning the power suit and ascending the corporate ladder. She's a go-getter. And so this idea of this aggressive woman, in not just business or in a military academy, but in relationships too, the aggressive woman is portrayed as the ideal in many movies. She goes and gets the man she wants. She wants that man, she's going to go get him. And so this aggressive woman is portrayed very positively in the culture. But look at the contrast here. It's telling. This gracious woman is the one who retains honor and respect. Now, ruthless man, he might get riches. He might attain some level of respect by getting rich because he's ruthless. He's aggressive. He goes and gets it. But that's not fitting for a woman. So those who have a biblical perspective, I believe, should lose respect for those ladies who are out there trying to be like men. And this is not popular at all. And when I say these things, I feel the weight of the culture upon me because this is a scary thing to say in our day. Now, and I just want to point out just as an aside, there is a sense that these women get what they want and then they realize I really didn't want that because they are not honored. And several times they want to be like one of the guys and then when they're treated like one of the guys, they're offended. They want to be equals with the guys. They want to get out there and be with the guys and then the guys start talking to them like they talk to the other guys and they're, I can't believe he's saying that. So in our culture, we have demeaned women by making them be like men or encouraging them to be aggressive like men. Instead, we should honor them. And she's a gracious woman. She has the door held for her. She's treated with respect. And that's the biblical understanding. So ladies, don't be deceived by this cultural view of an aggressive woman who goes and gets the man she wants or the whatever else that she wants. She's going. She's out there. Don't be deceived by that masculine, aggressive spirit. The one who receives honor is the gracious woman, the kind-hearted woman, gentle and quiet spirit that Peter speaks of in chapter 3. And so don't be fooled by this world. Now, I want to speak to moms and dads together with regard to your daughters. There's a temptation to cultivate this aggressive spirit in daughters too, because that's how the culture is working right now. We want aggressive little girls. But I would encourage you to discourage that in daughters and try to develop the graciousness and the kind-heartedness in the little girls. The feminist ideal of G.I. Jane is not what we want. And we should have no respect for that. In your household, the idea of a G.I. Jane who's fighting her way in Navy SEALs or whatever she's doing should be totally disrespected by our. We should say that is no way to gain respect or honor. She needs to be gracious and kind-hearted. And we need to encourage that in our daughters and not be taken in by this world. And fathers and husbands, I want to encourage you. You have a part in this, a very important part in developing graciousness and kind-heartedness in your wife and in your daughters. I think this is not all the time the case. Sometimes some girls are just more aggressive than others. That's just the way they're made. You know, they're strong, spirited. But oftentimes, these women who become aggressive and desiring to be, I want to be like a man, is because their father doesn't provide security for them. They had to fight for their way since they were out of the womb. They've been fighting for their position in the family. They've been fighting to get a word in. And so they don't have a secure environment. And so as fathers, we need to provide a secure environment where they are protected. And they don't have to fight. They don't have to be aggressive because they know their dad will stand up for them. They know that their men will protect them. And so they don't have to be aggressive or defensive or clawing and biting to try to get what they want. And then we need to encourage our daughters in this way, and we also need to take up for our wives. Our wives and daughters should be thoroughly confident that if there's a problem, you're going to go handle it. You're not going to say, honey, go handle that. You're not going to go ask her to deal with the difficult situation with the neighbor or at the return counter or whatever, the person who wants the bill, there's a problem with the bill and they're giving her a hard time. She could say, honey, could you go deal with that? And you say, yes, because she knows you're her defender. You're her protector. She doesn't have to go up there and fight tooth and nail to get that refund at the refund counter. You can go do it and be a man and defend her. Now, I know it's a silly illustration in one sense, but it's also very common. We don't want to send our wives out to fight the battles. We are the men, and you need to be like men and defend your wives and your daughters. Now, brothers. The brothers need to recognize something. Young men, brothers in general. You should honor and respect graciousness and kindness in your sisters and in your mom. Do not despise it as weakness. Your temptation will be to despise that as a weakness. No, it's a strength in a woman. Graciousness and kind hearts. Do not despise that as a weakness. Do not take advantage of it. And you should not let anybody else take advantage of it either. You defend your sisters. And we need to cultivate this spirit. We defend, we honor, we respect these young ladies in our midst, and our mothers. Not this, let them fight for themselves, let them fend for themselves attitude. You know, let them fight. We should defend them and promote gracious and kind spirits and let the men go out there and deal with these hard things, not leave the women to fight the battles. Young men, graciousness and kind-heartedness in young women is a woman's to be respected. And as you get older, to be desired. That's what you want in a woman, a wife. It's graciousness, kind-heartedness. Now, I'm going to warn the young men about a temptation. This is a very real temptation, and I think the men will agree, you know, if they think about it. The aggressive woman has an attraction to her. There's something attractive about this aggressive woman who is, she wants her man, she's going to get it. And it sort of makes it easy for him. He just has to sit back and lets her, you know, take the initiative and make the move, so to speak. And there's a sex appeal in a sense to that. And that's a warning to young men. When you see that and you're thinking, oh, I sort of like that. I don't really like this girl coming after me. You should run the other way. That is not what you want. You want a gracious and kind-hearted, not some aggressive girl who's trying to get you. Run the other way. She's thinking like a man. She's acting like a man, but she's looking like a woman. And so it's a great temptation to young men, and they need to be warned. And fathers, you need to warn them about those girls, that they are to be avoided, the aggressive young woman. Now, I want to raise an issue that I think needs to be raised. I'm not going to answer it completely, but it has to do with sports for girls. We live in a culture where aggressive sports, or girls or young girls are encouraged to go into aggressive sports, very aggressive sports. And I don't think it's a coincidence that women's sports have a large number of masculine women in them, what we would call the butch. Okay, it's not coincidence that the butch woman is dominating sports for women. And I think because they've been developing a masculine way of life, and to get good at the sports, they've been aggressive, and they had this whole attitude of the culture, and the sport helped to develop it in them. And so we just need, I'm not going to tell you which sports to put your kids in, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we need to think. And we need to ask this question. Is this sport cultivating graciousness in my daughter, or is it cultivating some kind of aggressive masculine behavior? What's it cultivating in her? And we need to ask that question seriously and think through it. Whether or not they should be playing that sport, it's good for them. We may be developing something else in that sport. There are all kinds of issues. So I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just saying you need to think and examine your daughters. We want to cultivate what the Scripture says here, gracious, kind-hearted young ladies, not aggressive, masculine young women. And again, I don't think it's a coincidence that professional sports of women and college sports are often dominated by these masculine, butch girls. Now, I'm not going to make a list of sports, but I will tell you three sports that I think are definitely off limits. And I hope this is obvious to you. I hope I'm not telling you anything new. Three sports would be off limits for ladies. Boxing, football, and wrestling. Okay, I would really discourage that. I hope that's obvious to you. Our culture is totally clueless about this. And their mantra is, what boys do, girls must do. What boys do, girls must do. And that's the mantra of our culture. And we can get sucked right into that and say, yeah, that's right. Whatever the boys get to do, the girls get to do. The boys play football, my daughter should be able to play football. The boys get to, you know, box, the girls ought to get to box, wrestle. Now, I don't think we should be sucked into that. And so I'll say certain sports are obvious, others are less obvious. And we need to leave that to the liberty of the families and the parents. But don't get sucked into that mantra. Girls must do what boys do. That's not biblical thinking. We're developing different things in the boys than we're developing in the girls, I hope. I hope you're not raising your boys and your girls the same way. That's not what we should be doing. Now, I will say also about the sports, there are feminine ways to play certain sports. The way the girls play the sports should be different than the way the boys may play the same sport. Boys and girls may play the same sports, but there should be a difference in the way. The way they carry themselves, you know, think of the East German ladies in the Olympics. Now, it used to be an old joke, the East German, hello, I am born here, and I'm from Bertha, and I'm from East Germany, and I play soccer. And she's got this man's voice, and she's very masculine. We don't want to cultivate that kind of thing. And if they do play sports, make sure they play in a way that is feminine. Now, I've probably dug a big hole here. In our culture, I would be shot, run off the stage, basically, or cast out of the church in many places. But listen to the principle, and I want to remind you of the principle here. And I want to make two qualifications. Two qualifications that are very important. And here are these qualifications. First of all, families will use different means to attain the same end. Some families will choose to put their girls in certain sports and play them. But the same end should be gracious women who retain honor, kind-hearted women, gentle, kind spirits. Gentle, and you know, this is what we want. We should all have the same goal, biblical goal for daughters and women. But we have different ways of achieving it. Some girls need to get a little stronger. Okay, they need to strengthen up. And I want to, and the second qualification is this. Is this graciousness or kindness is not to be contrasted with strength. Okay? A woman should be strong. And she should be able to give a firm no. She should be able to stand firm and say no. And should be a very firm no. And that boy should understand what she's saying too. She must be strong in character. As a matter of fact, I don't think you can be gracious and kind unless you have strong character. I don't think it's possible. So they need to develop strong character to be truly gracious and kind. So I'm not talking about having whimpering, pushover girls, but I'm talking about women of strong character who are gracious, kind, and feminine. Second proverb in this passage is in 11, verse 22. And it's pretty straightforward, too. One thing you got to like about the Proverbs, he's just sort of telling it like it is. He doesn't mince words. Proverbs 11:22. As a ring of gold and a swine snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Okay, that's sort of an absurd picture, isn't it? Okay, there are two things being contrasted. You've got the ring of gold, which is beautiful. This beautiful ring of gold. And then you've got a swine snout, which is not so beautiful. Not so, you might desire, these ladies and others might desire a nice ring of gold to put in their ear or something. But not many of us want a swine snout. They're not really interested in swine snouts. We're being close to swine snouts. Most of us, anyway. So there's an odd contrast. You take what's beautiful and give it to what's ugly. And what's being contrasted here is the beautiful woman who has no discretion. She lacks judgment. She ain't got a lick of sense. Okay? She's beautiful, but she can't think her way out of a situation. She can't think biblically. She's not biblically wise. She's foolish. And that's what's being spoken of in this proverb. And there really is nothing attractive about the picture, the swine snout, the gold. These two just don't go together. And in sum, you could say this, beauty is wasted. It's wasted on a woman who lacks discretion or good judgment. It's just a waste, just like the gold ring is a waste on a pig. It really is not dressing him up. He really doesn't look that much better because of that gold ring in the nose. And beauty is wasted on a woman who lacks discretion. For the ladies, I give a warning. Since the age of ancient Egypt, the chief prize of many women, especially the heathen women, has been physical beauty. That has been the be-all and the end-all. And the loss of it to some, to the heathen woman, has seemed like the loss of her life. She's losing her beauty. And it seems to just be, she's losing everything that's precious to her. The Bible doesn't speak that way. It speaks of beauty as a good gift from God. But if it lacks wisdom, beauty without wisdom is ugly. Beauty without discretion is nasty looking. It's like a pig with a ring in its snout. You know, you don't want anything to do with that. So that's the biblical perspective. And I would say that the woman lacks judgment who values, she lacks discretion who values beauty more than wisdom. If you have both, that's desirable. But if you can only have one, wisdom is definitely to be preferred. Pursue wisdom alongside beauty. And don't be fooled by the heathen desire to have everlasting beauty, which goes all the way back to Egypt, really, you know, from way back and before, I'm sure. And then for the young ladies, I want to encourage you to be discreet, too, and have good judgment. The word here, literally in Hebrew, is taste. The woman, a lovely woman who lacks taste. And it, I think it's being used figuratively, and so discretion or good judgment is a good interpretation. But taste often applies to clothes. We think of taste as far as clothes, or, you know, good taste in clothes, or maybe cars, I don't know, whatever else. We have different tastes. And there is that dimension to this word, that the woman, the lovely woman who lacks good taste in these things, is revealing something. So young ladies, you need to be discreet. You need to use good judgment in your clothing, your apparel. Don't display your merchandise as though it's for sale if it's not. Don't display merchandise as if it's for sale. Don't set out to show them what you have if you don't want them to buy. The dress of the young lady should be flattering. Should be flattering and modest. Flattering and modest. And those are two things to keep in mind. And if you are going to dress like you have something for sale, don't be surprised when the young men come and want to buy. And don't be all offended when they want to come and buy. I'm not saying say yes. You say no. Firm no. But if you're going to dress like that, you're just going to, that's just part of what's going to come with territory. Immodesty will attract a certain kind of boy. And you need to realize that. Immodesty will attract boys. No doubt about it. You show parts, cleavage, other things, the boys will come to look. They will come to see. There's no doubt about that. They'll come and they'll want to observe these things, and you will attract probably more attention than the modest girl over here for a while. But remember, the kind of boy you will attract will be one that lacks discretion as well. If you lack discretion in your dress, you'll attract young boys who lack discretion. Like will attract like. While the wise young man is going to say, she's pretty, but I really don't want anything to do with her if she's going to dress like that. And so you not only keep the wise young men away, you attract the ones that are indiscreet and lack judgment. So immodesty will make the young men keep their distance who are wise and will attract the kind you really don't want. And now I need to turn to the young men. Look at this proverb again, young guys. As a ring of gold and a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. If your goal is beauty ultimately without discretion, and you want one that looks good, you don't care if she can really think clearly, then you're really marrying a swine. Okay, and you'll have nice little piglets together, right? You don't want to do that. You don't want to go down that road. Leave the gold, you know, the gold ring and the swine snout alone. Don't go down that direction. And fathers, and especially, it always comes back to fathers, I believe. Fathers are responsible for the ladies in their home. And I'm going to state something that's obvious, I hope. Our children and our daughters, in particular, are not born with discretion. They're not born wise. They have to be taught discretion. They have to be taught good judgment. And fathers and mothers, you have to teach your daughters to be modest. You have to teach them to be discreet. And this, I'm going to give the fathers a chore here, and I think it's a legitimate one. It's a legitimate application. You need to help your daughters with their clothing. Sometimes even moms can't help as much as dad can help with clothing with the young ladies. You need to be willing to take the time to go shopping. I know that's horrible. And I sympathize completely with that. To have to go shopping, and look at clothes at that. I mean, if you're shopping for something, you know, like guns or something, you know, it's different. But clothing. But we really have to be concerned enough and love our daughters enough to go shopping with them for clothes and make sure they buy modest and discreet clothes. And you say, well, I can't go every time. That's okay. But at least, at the very least, I think you should examine the clothes when they bring them home and model them for you. And make sure they're discreet and that they are not immodest. Remember, we want them flattering but modest. Flattering and modesty is what we want in the young ladies. And you're going to have to help her because she's not going to know that right off the bat. She's not going to realize that. Many of them, some will, but others will not. So you have to, as a father, help. Now I want to look at some other areas of discretion. We've been talking mainly about clothing. And clothing, believe me, is a clear manifestation often of lack of discretion or discretion. Lack of discretion often manifests itself in the way they want to dress. But there are other areas of discretion as well. And one is just the behavior of young ladies around the boys. That's important as well. And you need to teach them as well. And you need to say things like, you know, tickling him is really not appropriate. You know, that little back rub thing over there, the flirting, the giggles, that's really not appropriate. So discretion is not just clothes. It goes out to behavior as well. She likes judgment. She may like judgment and behavior. But she's just doing it. So you need to teach her and say, you know, that's probably not appropriate to be flirting with him in that way. Don't expect them to figure it out, parents, especially fathers. Teach your daughters. And then also I want to point out this last issue, which is the most touchy. Not like I haven't touched on anything touchy so far, but this is even more touchy than previous things we've been discussing. And that's the issue of seduction. Your daughters need to be taught by you, and they'll hear it right now here from me, but they need to be taught by you that the world is full of men who will seduce them. And that is their goal. They have set out for one thing with that girl, and they will try to seduce them. And they will look cute. They will say sweet things. They will lie. And they will make all kinds of promises in order to get what they want. The world's full of men who seduce young ladies. And your daughter needs to be aware of that, and she needs to be warned duly. Now, Doug Wilson puts it very bluntly, and I'll quote him, and I think he's almost on track, but he's not very close. He's real close. He said, there are really two kinds of guys out there, and these guys who will show interest in you young ladies are of two kinds, basically. One wants to get you in bed honorably. The other wants to get you in bed dishonorably. One wants to get you in bed through marriage, honorably. One wants to get you in bed dishonorably through fornication. It's not far wrong. And I think many of the men here know that. But the daughter who lacks judgment will say this, oh, Dad, that's not true. And you need to make it clear to her that is true. And they need to be aware of that. And they don't need to be foolhardy thinking that this would never happen to them. Seduction does happen. It happens in the church. And the young ladies need to be aware of it and be warned against it. And the young men need to never do it. I'm not putting the weight on the young ladies and saying, you girls just got to say no. You men, don't you dare try that. You honor these young ladies. You respect them. You treat them with respect and honor. And don't ever do such a thing. Another area of discretion is money. There's lots of jokes about wives and credit cards and the mall. There are all kinds of jokes about that. That's an area of discretion, an area of good judgment. We need to teach our daughters, and maybe wise, to handle money well, discreetly. Maybe some of the men need to learn that too. Money management as well. It can go both ways. I'm not singling out the ladies on the good judgment with money, that's for sure. But the beautiful woman with a credit card and no judgment is a retailer's dream. Isn't she? The beautiful woman who likes judgment and has a credit card is a retailer's dream. But she's a husband's nightmare. And so we want to make sure we teach our daughters discretion with money as well, and our sons as well. But since this text is dealing with the discretion of young women. So, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. You know, the gracious woman, the kind woman, the woman who has discretion and good judgment adds up to an excellent wife. She really does. She has good judgment. She has kindness, graciousness. She adds up to a good wife. Excellent wife. Some translations say a wife of noble character. Now, as we look at this, we see that she can be a crown of gold. A crown to her husband. It doesn't say of gold, but a crown to her husband. Like a king. I want you to think about a crown for a second. What is a crown? A crown is an ornament of beauty. That's true. It's an ornament of beauty. That's one aspect of it. But primarily, that's not what it's for. What does it represent? It represents power. Authority, doesn't it? The crown is the king wears the crown. It's his authority. It's his sign of his authority and his greatness. And in a real sense, an excellent wife can be like a crown to her husband. She can make him great. It's not without that little common proverb in our culture, behind every great man, there's a great woman. There's a lot of truth to that. That a lady can make her husband great. She can be a crown to him. Source of power, authority. But then on the other hand, the woman who puts him to shame, who's shameful, can be like a disease. Now, that's a pretty graphic illustration. She's like rottenness to the bones. Now, this rottenness in the bones, now think, if you're rotting from the inside out, your bones are rotting. You can't see it right away. They look normal. They look fine. The husband looks fine. The wife's embarrassing him all over the place, but he looks okay. But there, eventually, he's going to fall. And she's like a rottenness. She's like a disease in his bones that's eating slowly away at him and destroying him. So here we have in this proverb a comparison. The wife who is excellent, she's a crown. She makes her husband great. And we have the wife who is like a disease. She's rotting him in his very bones. So ladies, I think you need to take a notice of your great power. You have great power and great influence over your husbands to do great good or great harm. Your power over your husband is great. It really is. You have more influence over him than any person on this planet, probably. And you can use that influence in your ways and your way of life and to make him great or to destroy him. So recognize the power and use that power to honor your husband and help him develop to his fullest potential, to champion his cause and behind him and support him and make him great, be a crown to him. Part of this involves several things. I just want to point out a few. One is being careful how you talk about your husband. Don't gripe about him. Don't complain about him to the other ladies. With ladies, if you're talking and your husband's name comes up or something about your husband comes up, make sure that at the end of the conversation, the ladies think more highly of your husband than when you arrived. The goal should be that the people would think more highly of your husband, not thinking diminished thoughts of his reputation or his ways. You don't want to be ashamed to him. You want to be a crown. And then we need to train our daughters in this way as well. Train them to honor, to be all these other things, gracious, kind, discreet. But honor for the young ladies in our midst, honor young girls, begins with your father now. If you're in the home still, you need to learn to honor your father and be a crown to him, to be a helper to him, to want to see your father do well, to encourage him. He is the one you can help now before you're married. And you're developing skills that will prepare you to be an excellent wife. If you learn to honor your father and be a crown to him by your godly life, your respect for him, all these things will prepare you to be a good wife and a good mother. And young men, when you're considering a wife again, some of you are considering it sooner than others. Some of you are thinking, I'm not going to be married for 20 years. Well, that's okay. It's always all right to think early, to look ahead, to prepare early. But when you're thinking about a wife, look at how she treats her father. Look at the young lady, how she treats her father. And if she treats her father with disrespect and dishonor and is a rottenness in his bones, basically, run the other way. Because a few years later, she's going to be the same for you. She may seem all sweet right now, but a few years later, she's going to be rottenness in your bones. And so, take that into account as you examine wives. Don't just look at outward appearances and beauty is fleeting. Don't look at those things only. Look at how she treats her father. And I want to hit an issue here too. In all the romantic novels, and it seems like every Shakespeare play almost, if not all of them, a whole bunch of them, the daughter is always going to meet a man her father doesn't approve of. I mean, it just seems like a repeated thing. The father's, you know, he doesn't approve of this guy, so she sneaks out to meet him. Well, there's a perspective on this that should be had by both the girl and the boy. The boy should recognize, run the other way. If she's willing to dishonor her father to spend time with you, she's like rottenness in his bones. And she'll be the same for you. It's just an absurd, I don't know what's going through the minds of young men. Well, maybe I do know what's going through the minds of young men. But don't do it. Don't go in that direction. It's absurd to think that a girl who goes against her father's will one day honor you and respect you and be a crown to you. And young ladies, it's also sin. The fifth commandment. Honor your father. So we need to take these things into account when young ladies and young men are getting to know each other. And now we'll end where it should end in the family, with the fathers and the husbands. The fathers and the husbands, you are responsible for all the ladies in your home. And that's where we need to end this in this sermon, is with the husbands and the fathers. You're responsible for these ladies. Now, if they're not gracious, if they're aggressive, or if they're indiscreet and immodest and all these things, they have their own sins that they bear with that. But you bear responsibility, and it's your job to help them, to nurture them, to cherish them, to teach them, to correct them, and bring them along in these things. And you bear the responsibility for that as the heads of house. The Scripture tells us that whether a wife is a crown or rottenness, whether she's a crown or a disease, whether she's building you up or tearing you down, you have a responsibility to love her as Christ loved the church. And I want to fill that out for a second with you, what that means. You know, we talk about loving your wife as Christ loves the church. What does that really mean? Give me some concrete, you know, does that mean love her a whole lot? Well, let's look at the life of Christ. Christ was our prophet, He is our priest, and He is our king. And husbands, fathers, you are to be all three of those things to your wives and to your daughters and your sons. You're to be their prophet. And by that, you proclaim the word to them. You wash her with the water of the word. You teach her the word. That's your responsibility, to teach your wives, to train them. Train them in wisdom of God's word. You're to be her prophet. You're to be her priest. You're to daily intercede on her behalf. You pray for her. Beg that God would help her, protect her, give her wisdom in dealing with the children, handling whatever else she has to deal with. You be her intercessor, her supreme intercessor, praying for your wife as her priest. And then you must be her king. You have to lead her by your example in righteousness. Not only just teaching, but also leading the household in righteousness. You're to be the prophet, the priest, and the king of that house, as Christ is to His church. Love her as Christ loves the church. Now, as I was studying these things and looking at them, I realized that none of us can do this except by the grace of God. And no way. No way can we fulfill the demands of the law, the demands of Scripture. The Proverbs really are just applications of the law. There's absolutely no way we can fulfill this apart from the grace of God in Christ. Apart from the working of the Holy Spirit, we'll all fall. We'll all fail. So that is why we need this table. At this table, there's grace. At this table, you can come and you can eat and drink with Christ. And you can receive blessing and grace that you need to carry out the law, to obey His laws and keep His commandments. So let's think on these things as we pray and approach the Lord's table. Our Father, You are our only hope. If we are left to ourselves, we will surely fall. We will fail. We will sin, and we will destroy ourselves, destroy our households, and all those in contact with us. So we pray that You would give us grace now through the preaching of Your Word. Give us grace through the eating and drinking of the bread and the wine. And we approach you now and ask you to give us these things because we are needy. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear your benediction from your God. Grace to you and peace from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.